one for the Pasa Tzimu Bekar. I'll send out questions for you on the next sugya. Because the next sugya, in terms of the Rishonim, is a little more difficult than it appears at first. And if you started doing the Baalei Tosfos, you might have already seen that that can get a little bit tricky. But I wanted to just talk about the Baal HaMor and the Raavad for a little bit, and then because the Baal HaMor really provides, he only explains half, I mean, he provides a very different approach than the other Rishonim do. Still on Pasuk Tzimum Bekar. Just a comment, incidentally, about the Baal HaMor and the Raavad. They did not have a very good relationship. If you've been here before, then you've heard this from me, but so once a year I'll mention it, and since this is the first really Baal HaMor we're getting to, I mean, I've heard someone asked Rav Lichtenstein about the, asked Rav Lichtenstein about the sharp words that sometimes we show them direct towards one another, and his comment was that he thought, generally speaking, it was just a rhetorical device, except with one exception, and that was the Baal HaMor and the Raavad. I don't know what's doing on the bottom of the Oz V'Hadar here, but I know that when they had the Gemara of the Oz V'Hadar printed, where they printed the standard riff, but they printed separately just the Muhammos, the Baal HaMor, and the Raavad in much easier to read print, and they took the Raavad from the Kos of Shum, which is the sefer that it's really from, that this was taken from in our Gemara. Let's just say that the version that you find in the standard Vilna Shas of the Raavad, his comments directed towards the Baal HaMor were censored and sanitized. And some of them are pretty nasty, and when you realize what they came from, it's hard to believe they were actually being toned down, but they were being toned down. My favorite line, of course, is when...
Are they even in the standard Vilna Shas? I mean, not the Oz V'Hadar?
What?
Pasuk HaRaavad?
Sure.
Where?
Yes, absolutely.
Where?
On the riff. On the bottom.
She does rebob?
They're not on every page, but there aren't that many Baal HaMors either.
So
anyway, what's that? The favorite line is when he calls him not the Baal HaMor, but something like Baal Choshech.
Right.
And in one particular place when he says that, actually, he stole this from me, because they learned together when they were young, and he said it's wrong anyway. I said this when I was younger, but it's wrong. So he has some very, very sharp and nasty lines. And I don't know what personally transpired between them, but it's pretty clear the Raavad, you know, the Rambam's, his lines are kind of generic, but I think it's pretty clear the Raavad probably respected the Rambam a great deal, but he did not like the Baal HaMor. That's pretty clear.
There's like one place where he says that like the day the Baal HaMor was born, like Tohu Vavohu was brought back into the world.
Wow. Okay. So anyway, it's a good thing they didn't have blogs back then, otherwise you can only imagine what the Raavad's blog would look like. Okay. So anyway. Yes.
Ezra has the Oz V'Hadar, and I have the regular Vilna Shas version, and so we're reading it together. It seemed like the Oz V'Hadar version had a lot of errors in the Raavad, words which didn't make sense, where weren't really words, things like that.
The word Iker, and then
when should we kikar?
I will tell you the following. I do have one tiny, the Oz V'Hadar stuff, and I don't know what, I assume it's like that now, they put it at the bottom of the page. The unfortunate thing is there are a lot of errors, and the Baal HaMor I noticed more errors in punctuation, which when we were dealing with stuff last year, I forget which sugi it was, that really threw us off. I don't know, was it what's that called? Orkisa? Was it Harsha? I think we were doing Harsha. Yeah, the commas made us crazy because they put commas in the wrong place and it really changed the meaning or just threw off the meaning completely. So you had to read it until you finally realized that the person who put... And the person who put in the commas, they published a separate safer, you know, it really should not be used because they're just, you know... So I don't know about specific errors in terms of the... This is more like a typist error or something that I don't know. So we'll read anyway.
Are a number of words that I don't know.
I don't know. So you can pipe in if there are particular comments that you think might take a different approach. You can add that for us. So the Baal HaMor writes, and I should add one other comment also. Again, if you've been here before, you know this. You know, the test of someone who knows how to learn, and I'm not sure these provide such a test. You know, if someone really knows how to learn, you see whether or not they can handle the Baal HaMor and the Muhammos. You know, if you can't read the Muhammos, you haven't made it there yet. That doesn't mean you shouldn't keep trying. It just means you're not there yet. And reading a Baal HaMor or Mochamos does not mean reading a selected line, you know, seven words that somebody thinks is the important formulation. It means reading a Mochamos from the beginning till the end and understanding what every word is. There's no Mochamos here, but there is a Baal HaMor and Raavad. So anyway, so the Baal HaMor says, and one while I'm here, one other hara. The name of the sefer here is called Amar HaKatan. The distinction or the recognition between this nation, what?
That's what he said.
It's Amar HaKatan, okay? I'm sorry? Can I? Let me finish.
You wanted to say about the Mahar Gadol.
First they correct my grammar, then they have their own suggestions. The Baal HaMor, if you read his introduction, tells you why he called. Firstly, in some place in the Vilna Shas, you have misprints. On Nashim and Ezekiel, it's called the Mahar Gadol. On the Rebbe Misnechta, it's called the Mahar Katan. He tells you at the beginning, he's calling that, in a sense, the yeshivish predilection for Nashim and Ezekiel Misnechta is already, you know, anticipated, you know, at very minimally, not only in this, but in the Baal HaMor's naming of the Sefer, the recognition that some of these were provide a certain kind of greater attraction than there's greater amkus in this than there was in Moed and Kachim and Brachas and so on and so forth. Sometimes this misprint that I've seen, and I'm getting the Vilna Shah, some places called the Mahar Katan, it's not. It's always here, it's always the Mahar Katan. There, it's in Nashim Zik, it's always the Mahar HaGadol. So anyway, Amar Chia Barashi Amarav Pasatzuma Bekar Mevarchem Ala Hamotzi. The Baal HaMor writes, Peirush Vafilu Peirun She'em Bohem Kezayis. That's not shocking. And then he says, Veleka Lai Teresa Dinama. He says, even though they don't have a tzuras apas. Now immediately the bells start going off. What do you mean? It has no tzuras apas? Now, that means that the sugya earlier when Rava said who was there, you had a machlokas between Rabbi Yosef and Rav Sheshes, and Rabbi Yosef paskin. Rabbi Yosef said you need perum of kazayis. Rav Sheshes rejected that psak, and Rava said, but you do need teresa dinama. So it would appear then. It would appear that according to the Baal HaMor, Rechia Barabba is arguing against at least Rava. So, and he goes on to say, really, he's not arguing against Rav Sheshes, because he says as follows. First he says, K'inyin HaKosav Tsunumos Dakos, he doesn't explain what that means, but I assume it means all shriveled up. Okay? Afilu Hachi Mevarech Aleim Hamotzi, V'lo Damu LaChavitza. Ah, but they're not the same as Chavitza. Now, here the truth is, So he certainly would be arguing, presumably on Rabbi Yosef, but everybody's going to argue on Rabbi Yosef. You don't need a kazayas. But now he says that it's not the same thing as chavitza, even though, what's the din by chavitza? So the hasam kli rishon umvashel nafkale mitoras lechem. So by chavitza, now he may be trying to work within Rava here, I'm not sure. With chavitza, you're dealing with something that was cooked on the Kli Rishon. Who said this by Chavitza, by the way? Rashi. That was Rashi's position. You know, that all the other Rishonim jumped on him for, and the Ravid will jump on the Baal HaMor for that now. But Chavitza, they said, was something that Rashi and the Baal HaMor say was something that was Mavushal in a Kli Rishon. Therefore, Nafka Lemitaras Lechem. Aval Hocha Ka'ara Kli Shenihu Ve'enam Mavashal. And so technically, it's not going to argue with Rava there, because he would say that Rava's requirement for Tzuras HaPas was only when you were Mevashel it. But in this scenario, in the case of Pas HaTznuma B'Ka'ara, where you're not Mevashel the Lechem, and if you remember, everybody, almost all the Rishonim, maybe sans Rashi, seem to recognize that that there's a difference between bread when you cook it versus when you don't cook it. In other words, if you crumble it up and you mix it with, you know, honey or soup or something like that, what we call chavitza, what most Rishonim assume chavitza is, so the Rishonim make a distinction between when you cook it and when you don't cook it. So the Baal HaMor says, yeah, there is a distinction. That entire Gemara was dealing with the case when you were mevashel. So even Rava, who says that you need teresa dinama, that's probably dafka if you cooked it. But if you didn't cook it, if you just put it in a klisheni together, so then, even if you don't have teresa dinama. Now, obviously, you can anticipate that almost all the Rishonim are going to disagree with the Baal HaMor for a very simple reason. What was Rabbeinu Yonah's three distinctions again? I think we mentioned this last week. Rabbeinu Yonah broke things down into three categories. Okay? Scenario number one, when you did nothing to the bread except for crumble it up. What size does it have to have there? None. And what tzuras apas does it have to have? None. Okay. Next stage.
But what does that mean, though? When you crumble it up, it's nothing. That's the perennial question here.
But the bottom line is, let's assume it doesn't per se lose its tzuras apas. I mean, you know, it's crumbs now. But bottom line is that even though they're very tiny, you make hamotzi. What happens if now you take whatever crumbs that you made and you glue them together with soup, you know, where there's more bread than soup or honey or something like that. That's what the Rishonim describe chavitz as being. So what is Rabbeinu Yonah's rule there? What size do you need in the peirurin?
None. You need to have 30.
But you need suras apas with Rava's qualification. If, of course, you cook it, then what do you need? You need a kazayis. Right. Presumably you need tzuras hapas as well. But if you lost tzuras hapas, you probably don't have a kazayis in there anyway. But I assume you need both. Now, the Baal HaMor's position is simply untenable according to the other Rishonim, because tzuras hapas is mafkia the bracha of hamotzi, even without any cooking for most Rishonim. But for Rabbeinu Yonah, as soon as you put it in the liquid, without any cooking, if you lose tzuras hapas, you lose hamotzi. So they cannot explain Rav Chiya Barashi here, pasat tznuma bika'ara, as being chavitza. They cannot accept the Baal HaMor's definition and the distinction between that and chavitza, because they assume even without cooking, chavitza will lose birchas hamotzi if you lose the tzuras hapas. Yeah? It's not that it's just crumbled up, Bas. The Baal HaMor is assuming that you put it in something.
But does it have to be that way?
I mean,
what if it's just crumbled
up? That's not Pasat though. Everybody agrees you make Hamotzi on that. But the point is, other Rishonim would not define, if you want it to be Hamotzi, you know, and in agreement with the Sugya earlier on, I think it's Lamed Zayin Amid Beis, I think. So no one could say what the Baal HaMor says, because they assume that when you lose the tzuras hapas, if it was mixed with anything else, with any other type of liquid, let's say, you lose the bracha of hamotzi. The Baal HaMor wants to, in effect, eat his cake and have it too, because he wants to say that pasat tznu bekar here is that you put it in the klisheni, it loses its tzuras hapas, and nonetheless, Rechi Barashi says you still make hamotzi. But that's different. But he's not arguing on the Gemara earlier that discussion. Not that he couldn't, but he's not, because chavitza means that you cook it in the clay rishon. Yeah.
This isn't where the Baal HaMor goes with it, but why not say why does everybody have so much difficulty saying that Rukhiya is arguing, could be arguing on Rishisha or on Rava or on Israeli?
So a couple of people, Ari and Michal, asked me that question as well. So it's not that you can't. The issue, I think, is that when you learn that sugya, the way the Gemara presents it, I would say the following. Nobody says this explicitly. You would have expected pasat tznuma bekara to appear there. You would have expected upliga ad rechi barav or something like that. That's what you would have expected.
I mean,
you could say that. You could say that. I tend to, again, how did the Gemara itself understand, though, its placement would suggest otherwise. You know, taking to an extreme the argument of the placement of the sugya here, you play into the hands, let's say, I think the Rush is the one who says it, that one of the rayas to Tosfos is that the very next sugya is Petit and Rushleiman.
You could take that either way, though. Right. It could be that this sugya introduces Petit and Rushleiman, or it could be that it's so obvious that Tosfos can't be right, because if this sugya was supposed to be the beginning of Petitin Ushleimin, etc., with two pieces and an extra loaf, then yeah, why would the Iker B'chazer Misafer for very first piece of the sugya?
No, but that's, you know, that would be a kasha whether or not, no matter where you have it, there's something missing.
If it at least came after you already introduced an extra loaf, then you could say, oh, this is a continuation of a case with an extra loaf.
I'm not arguing in favor of the Rush's argument. I will point out to you, by the way, that Heviu Lefanov happens to be missing in some of the Kisveyat. If you look at the way the next sugya begins, Heviu Lefanov Petitin Ushleimin, the words Heviu Lefanov are missing, and if you start at Petitin Ushleimin, it sounds like it's the next case of what came before. Just point that out. Yeah.
One problem with the suggestion is that...
Which suggestion?
That I was saying that Rupia is arguing.
Yeah.
Is that Rava seems to be agreeing with Rupia, at least in against...
Against Chia Barashi.
Right. Whereas in that sugya,
no, but that's consistent. In other words, see, if you were to argue the way you're saying, it actually works, because Rava here and Rava there are the same. In other words, if you were to take the Baal HaMor and say that the whole point of Rav Chiya Barashi is that it lost its tzuras hapas, and still... Let me step back 1 second. There are two ways of going about and explaining Pasat Snuma Bakar being Hamotzi, if you want to put the emphasis on Hamotzi, okay, which is what most of the Rishonim want to avoid desperately. They don't want it to be that they're arguing about what's the brach on Pasat Snuma Bakar, because most Rishonim want to say, of course you make Hamotzi on Pasat Snuma Bakar. It's some other question. So we suggested in Shira last week a possibility. This is not the one that I preferred, but this is a possibility that has to be opened up, is that this is the Machlokes, and because this is Machlokes and Yushalmi, do you make a bracha on pieces that are less than a kezayis? Like Rabbi Yosef's position earlier, although Rabbi Yosef was in Chavitza, it wasn't standalone. But there is a Machlokes in the Yushalmi on when all you have are Prusas, Pachas, and Kezayis, whether or not you make Hamotzi. And to suggest that Rechia Bar Ashi here was saying that you definitely do make Hamotzi, and he's pleaded Rav Chiya and Rava, that was the difficulty. Rav Chiya and Rava arguing, but it has to fit with Rava earlier, and so on and so forth. It's problematic. But it acknowledges that the Machlokes is about whether you make Hamotzi on this. The Baal Hamor may very well be taking it the same way, except for it's not simply broken pieces. It's Pasat Snuma Bakar, means you put in a cliché with liquid and so on, and it's a little like Chavitza, but it's not quite as broken up as Chavitza, because Chavitza is in a Kli Rishon, and this is only a cliché. And that's why Rav Chiya Bar Ashi says that you may Kamotzi, even though it lost Tzuras HaPas. And you could say then that the other Amorim say no, that this is Rava L'shitasa, once you lose Tzuras HaPas, there's no Birchas HaMotzi anymore. You can't make HaMotzi. You could try to go down that road. That is a possibility. Now, the fact that so you still wonder, why is it not earlier? Now, I don't know. Now, in the Baal Hamor, though, there's one little catch. Baal Hamor doesn't explain the continuation of the Gemara. If you read the Baal Hamor, he says that V'lo damu l'chavitza d'hasam kli rishon mevashel nafkalei mitoras lechem aval hacha ka'ara klishenu ve'eno mevashel. That's a din generally, Hilcha Shabbos, maybe Nyoradea, the klishen eno mevashel. So upliga, now how do you explain the continuation of the Gemara? This brings back the, you know, it's echoes of last week. If Rav Chiya Bar Ashi is coming to say that the bracha is Hamotzi, and they're discussing what the bracha is, so what is the shita of Rav Chiya and what's the shita of Rava? You don't make Hamotzi? And if that is the shita, why does the Gemara not quote it that way? Instead it quotes something about when you do Betziah. When you make the bracha, do you do Betziah while you're making the bracha? Do you Betziah after you made the bracha? There's nothing to do with anything. So the Baal Hamor, he just says, Upliga the Rav Chiya Bar Abba, the Amar Tzarech Tichla Bracha Maplas, Apas Klomar Keshu Parsa Mivarech Allah. Now, that really doesn't explain anything. Okay, fine. The Gemara says he argues on it. He explains what Tzar Shetich Le'abracha Imapas. We understand that. That's fine. And then he says, "Uvomaskana asikna hilchasa mevarich v'achakach botzea Tzar Shetich Le'abracha Lapas kishi shlema the alma shlema mitzvah ben amufar." Again, that's a straight reading of the Gemara. He doesn't explain for us exactly how is it that Rav Chiya Bar Ashi, how is it that Rav Chiya and Rava are arguing on Rav Chiya Bar Ashi? After all, they're talking about two different things. He never explains how you bridge that gap. Rav Chiya Bar Ashi is talking about the bracha of Hamotzi on something that lost its Tzuras HaPas, and Rav Chiya and Rava are talking about Lachatchila, when you're supposed to make the bracha. I assume what the Baal Hamor means, though I don't know for sure, is that the reason why Rav Chiya and Rava both require, to some extent, that the pas be shlema when you're making the bracha is because if you lose Tzuras HaPas, you no longer make Hamotzi on it. I'm not really sure how you see that from their statement. In other words, what would happen if you broke the bread beforehand, before you made the bracha? What bracha would you make according to Rav Chiya? Let's say you didn't start to make the bracha. You broke the bread in half. What bracha would you make according to Rabbi Chiya? Hamotzi. And what bracha would you make according to Rava, for whom you should have waited until you finished the bracha to break it? What bracha would you make according to Rava? Hamotzi. So they're talking about something completely different. Something completely different. They're talking about, you know, apples and chairs. Right? Rav Chiya Bar Ashi is talking about a case where you want to have this kind of, you know, this, I don't know, matzah balls or something like that, you know, with not just, you know, matzah meal in it. And Rava and Rav Chiya are talking about eating bread. You know, it's not even, you know, it's Shemitah, it's further than Shemitah from Har Sinai. So he doesn't explain what they hold, how they're arguing, and if he does mean what it would sound like he should mean, that they hold that you, in other words, by setting up Rabbi Chiya bar Rashi as such an extreme that you make hamotzi even though there's no tzuras apas, then it's easier to justify Rabbi Chiya and Rava's opposition. They would say if there's no tzuras apas, there's no berachas hamotzi. But that's not what they say. That's not what they're talking about. Okay, so that is the Baal HaMor's position.
Why is it so clear that he's necessarily relating them? Meaning,
he says Upliga. He quotes the Gemara. I mean, the Gemara does, and he quotes it.
But he's just saying, and the Maskan of the Gemara, meaning at the end, the Gemara itself has its own Shakuntalia.
No, so that part I understand. In other words, once you've now shifted gears, I mean, the Baal HaMor acts just like the Gemara. He talks about one issue first, connects it to another issue when the connection isn't apparent, then just forgets that he was talking about a completely different issue in the first place. Right? He fits perfectly with the Gemara, but his job as a Rishon is to explain the Gemara, not just to quote it. And he doesn't bridge that gap when he says, Upliga derechia baraba. Okay. Then the Ravid comes along. He's a little unhappy. And this is, here he's very nice, unless this is the sanitized version. Amar Avram, lo nirli dvarav. I don't think he's correct. Kaimalan Karava Damar Dmiin and Teresa Dinama Virchia Brashia Marav Lo Polak El Deloboy Bitsia Kodam Bracha Votoras Lechem Beinan. I'm sorry? I see he corrected Rapapa. By the way, what do you have in the you for Papa? Yeah, and I don't know where Rapapa's from. There is no Rapapa in the Gemara.
No, there's
next Huna and Rabbi Yochanan, and then where's Rapapa then?
They bring Rapapa by Pesach. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, so in this case, it seems to make more sense for Chiya Barashi. Lo Polig El. So one second. So he says we hold like Rava. You need to Teresa Danama. Okay. So I don't know what troubles him so much. What should trouble him so much? Okay. So Rava, we hold that way. Who says that we paskin like Chiya Baraba? Chiya Barashi. Who says we paskin that way? That's exactly the point he's arguing over. And Rava here is Lashitaso. Rava here is Lashitaso. So, Avrav Chiya Barashi Amarav Lo Polig Elod Lo Boy Betzia Kodam Bracha. Now, the Ravid here is working like the Balei Tosfos do. He's working backwards. Rav Chiya Barashi's only insistence here, only argument, is that you don't have to do, it should be Lo Boy Bracha Kodam Betzia. It's bizarre. Yeah, it should be the lo bayi bracha kodem betzia. Avol toras lechem beinan. But you require, everybody requires tzuras apas, so maybe not. Because Rava holds you need tzuras apas. Ruchia Barashi says. No, so however you see that expressing his opposition to Ruchia Barashi's view that you don't need tzuras apas, so he's saying you don't need tzuras apas. I mean, the way the Baal HaMor presents Rav Chiya Barashi Shita, the essence of the Shita is that you do not require Tzuras HaPas. Upliga, the Rav Chiya, and the Rava, they apparently do require Tzuras HaPas. Again, I still haven't explained how you cross that bridge, because I don't know how the Baal HaMor crosses the bridge. But
how you get to the point of Tzuras HaPas?
Yeah, well, I understand how you get that from Pasat Tsnuma Bikara. That makes sense.
Because it's just a delicate... It is.
And the Baal HaMor says it's mixed in with other stuff. And it's hot. It's not a Kli Rishon. It's a Kli Sheni.
It's possible.
Yes, that's why it's different. That's why the Baal HaMor says it's the machlokis between the sugyas. Yeah?
According to Rava and Rav Chiya, they would say that anything less than a Shlema has lost to an Apat.
But Rava himself earlier says that when you break up the bread, peruvin that apachos mikazayis, he says like Rav Sheshes make hamotzi. Who delikat
the Rista
Danama?
Rava is talking within Rav Sheshes. He's just trying to. That's how the Gemara presents it anyway. It sounds like Rava's.
Okay, so I think that one is, you know, it's always possible, but you really, in other words, the fact that the Gemara separates the sugyas. There's no connection between Rava there. The Gemara doesn't present it as a stira. Oh, but if Amar Rava, you know, Mevarach V'Achakach Botzeya, which certainly they didn't understand. Again, we're trying to figure out how did the Gemara understand the statements here when they presented it this way. They seem not to have understood it that way. So the Ravid says, so the Ravid's question is not compelling. Then he adds a different point, and this is the machlokas that we showed him earlier. V'chavitza da'amar du kli rishon b'zeh gam ken lanir dvarav, ki chavitza en ela kimcha v'divsha umishcha. It's basically kemach mixed together with other liquids that, you know, make it into a, you know, that join the flour together. V'yesh misha ochel oso be'eno, and people could eat it on its own. V'yesh misha ochel bo lechem perurin. V'ein sham inyan lechem avusha klal. Okay, then he goes on to talk about a different issue.
Wait, so he doesn't hold that it's necessarily cooked at all?
Correct. He holds it's not cooked.
But he says that it could be flour.
Yeah, he, what's that? It's flour mixed with other stuff. Yes.
Which is how the sugya starts off.
Yes, okay, but the chavitza later, the chavitza that obviously the sugya is talking about is lechem. Okay.
So you're saying that chavitza is not real lechem.
Which would be our chavitza.
That's the chavitza of the Gemara earlier. And some people sometimes it's just flour mixed in with other stuff. I understand. I don't know why he uses that term, but or it's peirurin, which are joined together. But there's no bishul process. And then he says that bishul itself only affects. I don't know if it's a bread kugel, sechal, something like that, maybe. Then the Ravid, if you skip just a couple of lines, because I don't want to go into the discussion of Pesach. Then he says, "V'lo boha inyana hu el alamed apachos mi kazayis shu lechem." The earlier sugi was to tell you that even less than a kazayis has a shem lechem. Ubal lekan alamed she'afal pi sheyesh lo kikar lechem letzoa alav imratza mevarech al osa tznuma delo krabichia debayi betzia al lechem gadol bein paros. So he says, now this is the Balei Tosfos position, that the whole purpose of Pasat Tzunuma Kavara Mevarach Aleha Hamotzi is to teach you simply Kedima. And there's no shy that the Barachas Hamotzi. And then he goes on to have one other interesting note, which is that it's possible, he thought, maybe Rava wasn't even really arguing for Rabbi Chiya, he was just explaining Rabbi Chiya, but he thinks the way the Gemara presents it, it's actually a machlokas. In other words, Rabbi Chiya said that you actually could make the bracha in the middle, and even though you started breaking the bread, and Rava says, no, the bread has to be whole until the very end. Okay, first you're a mevarech, and then you make the betzia. So the Ravid here is really the standard position of the Balei Tosfos. But the Baal HaMor Shita is a little bit odd. Now again, what prompts the Baal HaMor to adopt the Shita? The Rashba's question, right? The Rashba said, after all is said and done, after we presented to you the Balei Tosfos, it's very unsatisfying. The Gemara didn't mention the other loaf of bread in the room. And the fact that it didn't suggests that something else is going on. And that's why what I suggested last week, and I still think that this is probably the most logical reading of the Gemara, is that Rav Chiya Barashi was coming to say, Pas Hatznuma Bika'ara Imavarachan Aleha Hamotzi, as opposed to the other Shita, the one we know from the Ushalmi that says that when bread is broken up into little pieces and you don't even have one prus of a kazayis, you make mizonos. Implied, though, in that statement as well, was not only that you make Hamotzi on it, but that's mutter to be tzonim the Pas in the Ka'ara to crumble it up before you make the bracha. Meaning, it's mutter, even though you have a shlema, to break it up before you actually make the bracha on it. And that, the Gemara says, that implied part, not the explicit part, but the implied part of Rav Chiya Barashi, that pas hatznuma bekar, that you can be tzonim et bekar before you make the bracha, that's what the Gemara says, upliga de Rav Chiya and upliga de Rava. Right? And then it makes perfect sense, because he said two things. He said, firstly, the fact that you don't have a prus of a kazayis, you still make hamotzi. Number two, it's mutter to be parisit into that before you make the bracha. And it's on the second piece that the Gemara says that you have a disagreement with Rechia and Rabbi.
Still implied.
What?
Which is implied.
How is it implied? Because what pasat snuma bekara means, why is it bekara? It's bekara as opposed to bekadera. It's not in the way you make the food. It's the way it's brought out to the table. Pasat snuma bekara means you break it up. Some Rishon understand the verb. The Rashba uses tsunim, means to crumble it. So pas, which is tsnuma bekara, which means they bring it out to the table, and you crumble it up, and then you make hamotzi. So pasat tsnuma bekara mevarach al hamotzi. So the fact that he again, it's not explicit, but he implies that he doesn't say that you're not that l'chatchila you're supposed to leave it there. No, any of you could have said this last week, I'm no surprise no one said it, but the point is the way he talks about it suggests that this is an acceptable form of eating the bread. So, in other words...
Also, the way the Gemara, we mentioned that the way the Gemara introduces the fact that there's a machlokas isn't the standard, and he argues...
Correct.
But,
right, the second supporting point...
a machlokas.
...is that it doesn't present it as a machlokas, you know, up to Amaram, about itmar, so-and-so, what's the din, but rather it presents a din, and then it says upliga, which means there's something in that statement. It doesn't necessarily have to be the core of the statement. Moshe?
Because in that case, when you're cooking, you're having something that you bake the bread, and then you cooked it. And then, if the krusos are kayamos, fine. And if not, you're making mazonos. Here, they're not cooking the bread. The bread was baked, and you're putting it in this car afterwards. There's no cooking involved. So why would you need to start the pass at all? If you're not concerned about krusos kayamos, really, because it's not the same, there's no bishul and cliche in it. So he can hold, take that shita and sort of run with it with Rabbi Barashi.
Yeah, but that implies, yes, but only if, again, but you haven't explained what are the other shitos? What are Rabbi Yechia and Rava holds here? I can explain
no,
them.
Then for them, it's more of an issue of. Then it sounds like there's more of an issue of timing, which is how the Gemara presents it. It's an issue of timing.
Yeah, no, but you haven't explained the bridge. You haven't explained the bridge for us.
But maybe there isn't one.
Well, that's why this is Shver Zugya.
There has to be a bridge.
You need a pliga.
The point is, Rav Bashi is bringing an example of something that sort of binigudla to the brisa, and then the Gemara has to say, hold on a second, there's a timing issue here in terms of when you make the bracha. You're going to go back to what Rav is saying, and that's why the Rishon have to bring up Rava and Chavitza.
Okay, so you're now trying to adopt my shita, but instead of explaining what the Chiddush of Pasuk Tzvi Mekar is Hamotzig, the way I explained it, you want to explain it the way the Baal Mar explains it. You can do that as well. But you still have to explain what it was bothering Eyal. What is, how do you know from Pasuk Tzvi Mekar that the Chatchila is Mutter to be Tzonim it? And I think that may be just implied. Eyal?
Building upon the way you're reading it, that Pligay will mean something, will be arguing on something that's implied.
I mean, Pligay doesn't always have to be something that's implied, but
right,
it's not a frontal machlokas.
Right. He made it into a tzuma. And then Rav Priya Barashi is saying that in a case like that, when you make it into a tzuma, so it's as if it's a shlema, because that's when you decided to eat it. And then if that's true, so then implied in that is that he's saying that something crumbled up is like a shlema if you were nimlach.
I agree. That's exactly my point. Is that Rav Chiya Barashi holds that you're allowed to do that and call it. It's treated as a shlema. According to Rabbi Chiya, you're not allowed to do that. According to Rabbi Chiya, you're not allowed to do that. You're supposed to lechatchila leave it as a shlema. But remember, what does Rav Chiya Barashi say? He doesn't say explicitly. His statement isn't "Mutar litznoma pas bekara bebikdera kodem habracha." He says that pasat tzmicham revarchan aleh hamotzi. So you could, in other words, the Rishonim, one could have interpreted it straight out machlokas simply when you have to do the betzia. We suggested that also, I think. No,
mm-hmm.
And the machlokas was straight out when do you have to do the betzia? But the problem is then why does he say revarchan aleh hamotzi? He should just say pas tzon ma bika'ara umavarech alah. Right? Why does he say pas tzon ma barach amberach samotzi? And that you can only explain with either, I think, what I said or with what the Baal HaMor said. Okay. Fine. Moshe?
I think maybe this goes along with how you find Yom HaLev and try to explain Yom HaRigos from the Rashi Dor for Kriya, but if you, Chavitza essentially is the person has in mind to put the bread already baked into some tavshil, and then, assuming that's what we're talking about, assuming whatever that's what Chavitza is, but at least by the Maskana of the Gemara there, that Lashesha says you don't have to emphasize, and then Lashesha says fine, as long as it's Joseph has, if you had that bread put in the tavshil, then the plan was you weren't going to eat that bread. Whatever you crumbling of that bread, or whatever you did with the bread to cook it, that's not petziah, because you weren't planning on eating it then anyway. So there you could have explained chavitza that way, and you wouldn't have a steer with between Rava, certainly. Where here you only have the issue with pasnimo, because...
No, but according to the Baal HaMor, you didn't crumble it so that wasn't your betziah on the pas. That was to make this chavitza.
Right, I understand.
This cliche of chavitza.
By chavitza, that's not betziah, because betziah is going to... But see, if you have such a thing by chavitza, it comes later.
Okay.
Pasnuma, the question is when.
No, that is pasnuma according to the Baal HaMor. It is pasnuma. Pasnuma is chavitza, just not in a klisheni.
No,
it's the same thing, not in a klisheni.
So
yeah, because that was made in a klisheni. This made in a klisheni.
But pasnuma is not. It's not made in. No, but chavitza is the dish that includes the pas already. Pasnuma is already baked before you have the kara. Pasnuma bakara.
Excuse me, chavitza also you start out with baked bread, which you then crumble up, and then you put it and mix it with these other things.
Yeah, but then you're cooking it. You're putting in as part of a dish. Pasnuma bakara sounds like.
So you don't cook it. That's all, but it's the same mixture. The way the Baal HaMor presented, it's very similar mixture. It's just what do you do to it after you took your bread, you crumble it up, you mix it together with all this other, you know, this other mix. What do you do with it then? So the Baal HaMor says chavitza is bishul kli bishon, and that's why you need tzuras hapas. Here you don't actually do bishul; it's just klisheni, and therefore even if you lose the tzuras hapas because of the liquid, because of everything else, you still may come out.
That's sort of what I asked on Thursday. It sounds like you found it on the gada. You had pasnuma is there. It was where chavitza, chavitza is like you're in the kitchen still cooking, and you're putting the bread in the.
Okay, if you want to talk, we can talk about this after shiur, something like that. I don't think it's going productively right now. So let's. So I'll try to answer the question fully then. Okay. So now the last piece is Tosfos and Daf Lamed Tes Amud Beis. May I please have a reader? Ari, you'd like to read?
The Hilchos HaKarava de Mevarach Achar Kach Botzeah.
The Hilchos HaKarava de Mevarach Achar Kach Botzeah. Third, Shlo Yafish of Prusa Min Apas Ad Achar Bracha.
Okay, so what does that mean? It means the way Tosfos first presents it is that it's like you cut it, but you don't separate it until after you have completed the bracha. Go ahead.
And there are those who are accustomed to not only not to be motzeah, but also to wait before you actually cut the bread at all, so that the bracha should be completely on a pas shalim.
Okay.
And make the bracha in that fashion. And this according to Tosfos.
Okay. Now, of course, what exactly then is according to Rava the mevarech li'achar kach botzeah? What does it mean? What cutting do you do? According to Tosfos says that you leave, that you're not. Mafresh the prusa of an apas. What does that mean? It means you cut through the challah, but you don't separate the piece. What difference is that? That's called shlema. So you know already from Shulchan Aruch that how much do you cut?
Enough.
You only up to allow to cut up until the point. Whereas if you were to hold
one piece,
the challah by that piece that you had cut off, that the whole big challah wouldn't come loose and leave you holding the. Holding the prusa.
Which is machlokas. It could be the other way around.
Yeah, it's fine. It's machlokas tatanayim in a completely unrelated context that's invoked there. But bottom line is a wee hole that you have to. You can cut a little, but you can't cut very much. The Tosfos says you have to cut, in effect, as much as you possibly can because you want to avoid hesech hadas between the bracha and chliya. Now, I have to tell you something. The way when they talk about botzea, I envision how would they botzea bread? Same with their hands. I have to tell you I don't understand at all. Well, no, that I understand. You can start to tear. That I understand. Hesach hadas. How long does it take for the mevarech to break off a piece of bread and take a bite.
Okay.
You've seen Peter pull apart challahs, right?
It's be able to pick a waffle, and you're trying to rip it and ripping and ripping, you know, until you get there.
Still. presumably, when he says tesek hadasi, means hefsek.
I'll make you go across the street and buy a laffa and bring it to demonstrate. What are you talking about?
I don't know, maybe...
Have you ever had such a laffa?
Yeah.
Have you had such a laffa where you'd have to struggle
like
and start...
stretchy and big.
Chaim, you let me down here.
I gotta give some support. You know.
So it sounds a little bit from Tosos like they're cutting with a knife, now, which arguably might be the case. And it might be that when you cut with a knife, then it should be done differently because it really does take time. But when you're tearing apart, you know, by hand, it just doesn't take very long. You know, the amount of time difference. I mean, there's, I'm sure physically there's a difference. You could time the difference. It's not a lot.
Damn.
Maybe it just wants to minimize that time.
So you think Tosis means a knife? Well, that, so that I'm willing to acknowledge that possibility. But short of that, I don't think it's the Gemara is talking about. The Gemara, I think, when Rava says Mevrachach Botzeh, I think it means you don't do anything until you finish with the bracha. It's even during the week, before we get to the Shabbos issue, because Betzia doesn't take very long.
Was there even a halakha, you know, in the Gemara that they cut the bread with a knife before? Maybe the...
I don't think they cut bread with knives.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe in terms of reality, all they did was take a piece off.
That's what I think.
Which is why he says the
minute
is not correct.
You mean because in his day they're cutting with a knife? Okay, I mean, I hear, but the problem is that it's still... We'll read on a little bit in a second. Let me take the questions. And it's still the something about Tosis that's unsettling. David?
It could have possible that the bread was not as soft as we know it today, and that it was a process to really fully break it. And so that way you started, and then all you have to do was the last portion of the roofing.
To put out an ad on the internet, please send us all your stale bread so we can experiment with it.
Right? Surprisingly,
I'm afraid.
We can make our own stale bread.
Michael, what was your question?
No, I was just going to say that.
I hear what you're saying, David. I just don't know.
That when Ari and I had gone through this, I think I had assumed that there's it's a two-step process. You the first thing is like picture a pull apart call, right? So you take a chunk, but then you take a little bit with the other hand, right? When you're making the first bite that you're going to make, the bite that you're making the bracha on. And that then there's both seya and taking the actual prusa.
Yeah.
From the petula.
Still very fast.
I mean, I don't know.
No, my assumption would be is that if you have a big chalif, you're the baal basa, and you want the achila to take up to the bracha, you grab a piece off, you take a bite, you put it down on your plate.
Yeah, but you don't take a bite out of an apple. Right when you're making bracha, I think you're saying, you know.
Michal, you take off a small enough piece that you want to put in your mouth. That's easy.
No, but when they hand around the bread, you take a slice or a chunk.
For the purposes of
beer, it's not like a mouthful. You have to take a mouthful from that.
Even so, I don't think it's so much longer. David?
According to the social, like what we saw in the Shulchan Aruch, that on Shabbos, when you need less Mishnah, you shouldn't...
Wait, let's wait. We haven't read it. We'll read it in Tosfos.
Okay.
Hold on. Go ahead, Ari.
Ryu, Shabbos, Nachum Mahatmer, Lavar, the Kodam Shafto, Shor Fishman Yellow, Lutro, Kodam Shabekla Bracha, Shazlo Yellow, Lecha Mishnah.
Okay, you know, and I don't understand this either. Lechatchila, Lecha Mishnah is supposed to be Shlema. It's true, but if you don't have Shlemos, you make Lecha Mishnah on Prusos. That's the way it is. So why is Tos.
The Chachila case.
What?
We're still in the Chachila.
No, I understand, but you're afraid. Tos is only afraid. The only reason Tos says it's not called. The only reason, and it's not that, some say, I don't think it's Tosos, they quote, Beis Yosef quotes Rishonim who say that it's not called Shlema anymore.
Right.
But he's not saying this way, no, but he's saying just because maybe your hand will slip. Right? And so you're concerned, what? So that your Lecha Mishnah won't be on Shlemas. But you also want your Bracha Lechatchila to be on the Shlema. So why aren't you concerned your hand will slip during the week also? In other words, who says that the Lecha Mishnah Shlema is anything more? I mean, you might argue based upon this Tosus it is. The din of Shlema by Lecha Mishnah may not be any more of a din than Shlema, but that when you, there's no mitzvah during the week to be Mevarech HaLa Shlema. But if you have a kikar shlema and you want to eat it, there is a mitzvah to be mevarech al shlema, that you should leave it shlema. Who says that that din of shlema is any more, any different than the din b'chatchila, because you have to eat kikaros on Shabbos, that they should be shlemos? The tosis is machbid by one, we're afraid your hand will slip, and if your hand slips, then you don't have shlemos, but during the week when you decide to eat the piece of bread, we don't care, we're not afraid your hand's going to slip. I don't understand that.
Yeah, but it's a separate thing, meaning this is the idea of lecha mishnah, which is something
you're brainwashed. You're brainwashed. You think that if you don't have shlemos, you don't make lecha mishnah. It's not true. It's not true. Lecha mishnah is...
what?
Lecha mishnah is even if you don't have shlemos.
No, it's still considered lecha mishnah?
Yes! Yes! If you don't have shlemos, yes, lecha tchila, that's called... I mean, I don't know what that's called, lecha tchila anymore. That's what you have! The din of lecha mishnah lecha tchila is shlemos. If you have shlemos, if you don't have shlemos, if you don't have shlemos, so you know, if you only have one, you only have one. If you don't have shlemos, you use prusos. That's the way it is. And remember that there are rishonim, even if it's, you know, the rishonim will hold lecha tchila, the Rambam, Mechaber doesn't pass in this way, that on Pesach, because of lechem only, lecha tchila, you're not supposed to have two shlemos. Oh, but you still need lecha mishnah. The answer is, it's lecha mishnah. It's two. Can you count? One, two.
If you have one kala, it's better to rip it in half. And then
I didn't say that. That's a separate question. And whether or not that's called to, I don't know. That's a different issue.
Oh, yeah, if you ripped it in half, you could glue it back together.
That would be funny if it's not for the fact that that's suggested.
That's why it's funny.
All right. About gluing them back together or about breaking one in two? I don't remember what the eitzah would be if in a situation where you're holding one loaf of bread, is it better to break in two? The problem is, I don't know if that's called lecha mishnah, actually. In other words, when it's broken for those purposes, that might just be called one, that might still be called one lechem. It would mean if you literally have two prusas, you have a box of matzah and you know, a bunch of them are not shlemos, to take two out, that's called lecha mishnah. It's not shlemos. So Tosis here makes an assumption that I don't know what the basis is. Okay. So anyway, he says on Shabbos, it's better to be careful, yes?
How is it that on Shabbos it's more important to have a shlema, or you know, especially not just a shlema, but to not even cut it beforehand, and that outweighs a potential hezek hadas and bracha? I just thought that was very strange.
Look, the problem is the Gemara doesn't say that this is a hesech hadas. So, if you're weighing your svara, your concern, against nothing, then your svara might win. If you're weighing it against the din of the Gemara of lecha mishnah, and you feel as a chashash of being pogim in lecha mishnah, so then it might lose, you know? So then it's a question of competing values, and, you know. Jeremy?
Also, Tosfos develops gradations of what shlema is. Meaning, why is it any less? We've already determined that if the katan will pull the gadol, right, it's considered a shlema. So why, if you start cutting into it, but you still preserve that katan, it will preserve the gadol, is it any less shlema?
Tosfos doesn't say that. No, Tosfos doesn't do that. Tosfos says it's just a chashash. Tosfos does not. That's the way. That's what the Beis Yosef had.
What he first says, right?
He says the definition of shlema.
The reason he rejects the minhag of being chotech, or starting the chaticha.
On Shabbos, you mean?
Yeah, on Shabbos.
Right, it's only shalot tishamet yadaluv tzor kodem shetech
la'bracha. Not even on Shabbos. Go back a little bit. Right? It would be Shabbos as well. Right? In terms of making a cut into the bread, right? Starting the cut, right? But still having the small piece being able to pull the larger piece.
No. Kodem shiachtoch. The first thing that Tosfos says is wrong is that you don't cut it all.
Right.
Tosfos says that's wrong because even though you have shlema, you have hesech hadas. Tosfos says, Tosfos would assume, except for on Shabbos, cut enough that you go as far as you can without botching the shlema, so you minimize hesech hadas.
Right, well, but I'm just so confused by that minna, which is saying that we wouldn't even start cutting it because they should have hot shlema.
Yeah.
Well, if you just start cutting it, but it's you can still preserve the shlemut.
Well, that's what Tosfos thinks. Presumably, the people who had that minhag felt that no, that just because the bread doesn't come apart doesn't mean it's shlema anymore.
So, is the difference of opinion of what shlema?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
I think also by lecha mishnah on Shabbos, Somehow, my recollection, maybe it is the Rama or whoever comes before.
Rama says Shlema, Shlema, and the Shulchan Aruch just says Shlema.
Is that once you cut like that, even though it doesn't come apart, even though you can hold one, that's not called a Shlema anymore. Okay. At least on Shabbos. I think the Rama's distinction is Dafka on Shabbos, which again, that's like Tosis, I don't understand. Is it a different definition of Shlema? Okay, now Tosa says, Uperek Shlosha Shachu Gadari.
Uperek Shlosha Shachu Maskin and the Be'inan Achetikla Amin Yaonim, Shalayutze Kohen.
Okay, so that doesn't change, that doesn't necessarily have an impact, though, upon what you cut before the bracha, because if you argue with Shalim until you cut X percent, then the point is that simply you cut up until X percent, you let the people answer Amen, and then you break off the rest. Okay, that's a separate din, but it doesn't tell you anything about the previous discussion. And V'yeshim
Mivin Raya. V'yeshim Mivin Raya. Shetzarech l'sayim abracha kodem shivza. V'tani Rifi of Yerushalmi. Ein bavarken ala pas. Ela b'shashu poris. V'ayinu mishum shem yifros kodem abracha. Shem atib ala prusa miyado. Lo yuchal lachol prusa acheres. Shivza b'lo bracha.
Eli yitzarech. And one more? Okay. So Tosa says that those who want to bring a Raya, and this is very important. The way many Rishonim bring this Yerushalmi simply is to point out is that there appears to be a machlokas as to why you're not supposed to be Botzea before you make the Bracha. According to the Bavli, why is it that you're not supposed to be Botzea before you make the Bracha, presumably? The Mitzvah Namufkar, to be take from the Shlema. According to that passage in Yerushalmi, though, they seem to think it's a different concern, that when you make a bracha, the bracha you make goes on a particular object. Okay, typically speaking, there are exceptions in Yerushalmi, the bracha, the object the bracha goes on is in your hand. Now, if you have a small piece, if you take the piece of bread and you botzea it before you make the bracha, if that piece of bread falls out of your hand and becomes unusable, you have to make another bracha. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you didn't break it off from the bread yet, and then you break it off and it falls out of your hand, well, you just take off another piece. You just take off another piece because the bracha went on the entire chefza. Now, Tosfos here suggests that there are those who bring a raya that you're not supposed to do what? There are those who bring a raya, what? That you're not supposed to be botzei at all, kodem shivarech. Presumably that first shita, that they're not chotech at all, you're not supposed to be mevarech before, you're not supposed to be Otzea before you're Mavari, because if you are, you might drop it, and then the bracha doesn't go on the rest of the bread. And it could be a bracha levatala. Now, I have a question for you. In light of this, what do you think Tosus' shita was? When Tosus said at the top, Shelo yafash aprusa min hapas arachar bracha, how much do you think Tosus meant that you cut? Yeah, it doesn't sound like the standard that's espoused by the Mechaber. It sounds like you cut much more. It sounds like you cut it and maybe there's a little piece attached left, or even you cut it all the way, but you leave it sort of attached, so you don't separate it until. More than just what the Mechaber says you cut. Yeah, that's what it sounds like from Tosus. Yeah,
yes? It could just be an issue of Matthias, though. It really depends on the kind of bread you have.
No, but
if you have a bread with a really hard crust and a soft inside, yeah. So then you could cut 3/4...
I would argue to you that according to Tosafos' shita, if you cut enough or cut only enough where you can still hold the bread up, okay, why would there be Yerushalmi be a raya against that shita? Right? Why would that be a raya against that shita?
Because it would never fall out of your hand. It's not a piece.
Well, I would argue that let's put it this way, it's the whole thing right now, but the assumption is the whole point is always is that you break it off and then you drop it. But the whole point is, according to Tosfos, if Tosfos had in mind, and he's saying that they're bringing the Yerushalmi as a raya against that, was that you cut enough, but not enough to break it off, why wouldn't the bracha, according to Tosfos, go on the whole bread? Right. Yeah. In other words, bishlama, if you say Tosfos, means you basically cut it completely or cut it down to the last thing, and you just don't separate it. So I understand why the bracha goes on the prusa, right? Because it's really not part of the bread anymore. And so then I understand why the Yerushalmi would be invoked as a raya against Tosos.
So I didn't understand the raya part.
But okay. But I think that if you say that Tosis really, but if you mean to really mamish break it off, then I understand the raya in the Yushalmi again. Why someone would want to bring a raya from the Yushalmi against Tosis?
Okay, but then it's strange that he says that in the first place.
So what does he do? He doesn't say what he does with Yushalmi. Avalim haya tzarech. Go ahead. Okay. Now there is, of course, another way of responding to the last thing that I raised, but I'm surprised you didn't jump upon me, which is the following. Well, how do you know what the bracha goes upon when I pick up a tormus? Okay. If I pick up a tormus.
You want to cheat.
And I drop the tormus. Or let's say I break, after I make the bracha, I break the tormus in half, if you can do that. I don't know exactly what lupine looks like when it's cooked or what the final form is. I break it in half and I drop half of it. Can I eat the other piece without a new bracha? Yes. Right, that's fine. Now, why is that so? Because I made the bracha on the entire lupine. Okay. What about a piece of bread? Well, why do we assume that the bracha goes on the entire piece of bread?
Say hello.
What?
On the entire loaf.
On the entire loaf, the entire loaf of bread. Why?
I'm
sorry? Well, more than that.
It wasn't broken.
Well, okay, and therefore.
So what else have you got?
I'm sorry? Well, but once. Thank you. Say it louder, Chaim.
You didn't specify which part you're going to eat.
Yeah, in other words, until you start to cut. And for this, by the way, the argument would then be is they shouldn't even make a nick on the bread for this. Now, there's even like some like to do on Shabbos. Some say Zecha, some Achronim. You make a little nick on the bread. You shouldn't even do that according to this. Because once you do that, you've designated which part of the bread you're making the bracha on. So if you then break that off, even after the bracha, and you drop it.
It's not necessarily true, though.
Okay.
We investigated that cut, and it's really to see on which bread you're using, not where you're cutting.
Okay, so fine. So
that doesn't count.
Fine. All right, so I'll accept that then. So you can ignore that part. But if you start to cut, Chaim, okay, the way people, let's say normally would, not today, you know, so we use the excuse. I say I cut off the end because I'm being butzah kishuus as the rest of the loaf, okay? Even though it looks like I'm cutting off the little piece, I'm really cutting off the big piece. Fine, but putting that aside, assuming for normal people, or normal when they normally eat bread, you cut off the piece that you wanted, right? So once you start the chaticha, regardless of how much you do, you've designated which part of the bread you intend to eat, and the bracha might only go on that part. So it could be Tosis really does hold, you know, the way it's presented. Again, I don't know if the Shulchan Aruch says that within Tosis. I don't know. I don't remember who gives that distinction as you have to be able to hold the bread up. But it could be Tosis is working with that. But the whole point is that the reason why the bracha might only goes on the whole loaf of bread is because, in effect, there's no breira. Meaning when you make the bracha on the whole loaf of bread and nothing has been cut at all yet in any real way, So, and even in a partial way, so at that point, that you could pick any part of the bread to break off. Once you start to cut a piece of it, even if you cut a quarter, and you can easily hold the bread up by that quarter, nonetheless, you've already designated which part of the bread the bracha is going on. And therefore, you have the Yushalmi's concern, and that's what Tosafos was saying. Some have brought a raya against it. Okay. Fine. Are there any questions about this? I really wanted to get started on the next Gemara, but I will send out in the morning, and hopefully before the morning, but if not by the morning, a set of questions for the next sugya, because they're questions you should be prepared to answer when you walk into Shir. In addition, you'll have to prepare a translation of the entire Gemara. What's that? Wormuth, you'll prepare. No. Okay. All right. Anyway, any other questions? Okay, very good.